Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, it used to be said of Elvis Presley, once he had safely exited his concert venue, "Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building." Well, yesterday it could have been said this way: "Ladies and gentlemen, the vice president has left the arena," because Vice President Mike Pence walked out on his home state's Indianapolis Colts when members of the opposing team, which happened to be the San Francisco 49ers, knelt for the national anthem. Here's what Vice President Pence tweeted after his departure. Quote, "I left today's Colts game because at POTUS and I will not dignify any event that disrespects our soldiers, our flag, or our national anthem." And almost immediately after it happened, friends, I began receiving texts from my friends in the state of Indiana saying things like this: "Mike Pence walked out of the 49ers Colts game today. That's leadership. Glad he did it. I hope the rest of those who are true Americans join him next week, and the stadium is filled with crickets," end quote. Well, friends, with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I am Dave Kistler, and I'm joined again today by Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr is again away. And the vice president went on to say this, quote, "At a time when so many Americans are inspiring our nation with their courage, resolve, and resilience, now more than ever, we should rally around our flag and everything that unites us. While everyone is entitled to their own opinions, I don't think it's too much to ask NFL players to respect the flag and our national anthem. I stand with President Trump. I stand with our soldiers, and I will always stand for our flag and national anthem," end quote. And again, that was Vice President Mike Pence. Gary, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. In fact, we're going to talk about it a lot on today's program because it's not going away. But today is also another day. It's Columbus Day. And there are those out there that are trying to get the removal or accomplish the removal of Columbus statues around the country. And this is all part of the statue flap, you know, with Confederate soldiers and so on. But they also want to get rid of statues of Columbus. Gary, talk about that very, very briefly before we transition into what our vice president did yesterday.
Well, yes, David, this is Columbus Day. And of course, you and I both know, as well as many of our listeners, that in recent years, it's true that there have been many people who have been slighting Columbus. And of course, Christopher Columbus was not a perfect person, just like the rest of us. There's none of us who is perfect. And, you know, when you study about Christopher Columbus, you find that not only did he have the desire to maybe find a shorter route to India, but he also had the desire to evangelize. And he did do that upon arriving in the West Indies. And so, you know, many people fail to understand the background, the character, the desires that Christopher Columbus had in his sailings. But this idea today that we've got people wanting to take down the various Christopher Columbus statues across the country is really absolutely ridiculous. I actually heard somebody say this morning that we should be ashamed to honor such a guy who really brought havoc to the native citizens of the United States of America. And yet, this man who made that statement is an American citizen. He's standing there as a part of this country and is benefiting from that which Christopher Columbus brought to the New World, as it were. So in many places across the nation today, we've got people talking about taking down Christopher Columbus's statue. One particular place is up in New York. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio has said that he may order the removal of the statue of Christopher Columbus from none other place than Columbus Circle. And I don't believe that he's actually done that yet, but I just have information here that says that there at Columbus Circle, there is a guard by the New York City Police that's 24/7, and it's there, and it's on the same level, the round-the-clock guard level, as they would put on other high-profile targets like the Brooklyn Bridge and the United Nations building. Who would ever thought that we'd have to have 24/7 guards around Columbus, his statue in Columbus Circle? But it's because of things that Bill de Blasio has said, and a total disrespect for the one who God used to bring the reality of the Western Hemisphere into being as far as humanity is concerned. And I'm very, very concerned, Dave, about the lack of respect that people are showing for Christopher Columbus, among other things, in our nation today, including the flag.
Well, Gary, two quick comments on my end. Number one, if perfection is what is going to be the requirement from this point on, then there will be a statue to no one, because there is no one that's perfect. We're honoring people like Christopher Columbus, like Robert E. Lee, like Stonewall Jackson, not for everything that they were in their life. It was for what they did, what they stood for, what they did that accomplished something for the country, and did something for us, the American people. So perfection is not the requirement. And then number two, Gary, I think this is part of this ongoing struggle to demean everything that is America, to try to make America appear to be something other than what it is, which is an exceptional nation. It's had God's blessing on it from the very get-go, because we were founded upon Judeo-Christian belief, and God has blessed that. And all of this is just an attempt to further undermine and demean all that is the United States of America. And I'll use this as a transition, Gary, back to what our vice president did yesterday. It didn't take long. It did not take long for President Trump to respond. And he tweeted this, and I love this. He said, "I ask Vice President Pence to leave the stadium if any players kneel, disrespecting our country. And I'm proud of him and Second Lady Karen Pence." And then right after that, Trump's son, Eric, also took to Twitter. And he wrote this: "Vice President Pence is truly an amazing man. Thank you for standing up for our country and for the respect of our great flag." Now, Gary, I don't know about you, but I think this is leadership of the highest level, and it's a stark contrast to the incessant demeaning of America. We're talking about that today, the demeaning of America that we had to endure for 8 years prior.
Well, I agree with you 100%. It is great leadership. And, you know, there are people who are saying, well, this was just a stunt that Mike Pence did. Well, no, he's making a statement. And he is the vice president of the United States of America, and he has sworn to uphold what this nation stands for and what the flag is a symbol of. What else? Think about that, David. What else would you expect the president or the vice president of this nation do when there are those who disrespect the flag? I think that he did what was absolutely correct. And had you know, had everything been all equal, I'd say he would have stayed there for the entire game, because, you know, Indianapolis is his whole team, his home team. But I think he did what's correct. And I think that President Trump's message to him was correct as well. Thank the Lord for such leadership.
I agree, Gary. Great statement you made. Not a stunt, but a statement. That's what Mike Pence did yesterday. And someone else made a statement yesterday too, and that's the owner of America's team. We're gonna be talking about that and a whole lot more. The state of Texas is in the center once again of this debate over the national anthem and the flag. What is all that about? Friends, you're gonna be amazed at what you hear when we come back from this very brief timeout and discuss this further on Stand in the Gap today.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information. As Stand in the Gap today and Prophecy Today co-host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
So What would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, yesterday, following a loss to the Green Bay Packers, Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said any player who disrespects the flag will not play. In other words, if you take a knee, you're also going to take a seat. And Jones made his comments, the strongest that he's made since the anthem controversy began, after he was asked about Vice President Mike Pence's actions in leaving the game there in Indianapolis. Let me share with you what Jerry Jones said. He said, and I quote, "I know this, we cannot in the NFL in any way give the implication that we tolerate disrespecting the flag. We know that there is a serious debate in this country about these issues, but there is no question in my mind that the National Football League and the Dallas Cowboys are going to stand up for the flag, so we're clear," end quote. Jones and the rest of the team, of course, as you may know, have knelt arm in arm before the national anthem, and they did that at a game with the Arizona Cardinals 2 weeks ago. And remember, it was they knelt before the national anthem, and then they stood, some of the players with their arms locked, a few of them with their hands over their heart. But again, this is coming from Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. And Gary, this is a good move. I mean, I hate it. Took 2 weeks for him to come to this conclusion, but I think obviously he's a business owner, he's a businessman, and a very shrewd one at that. And he's reading the tea leaves, so to speak, the exodus that is occurring from stadiums, as well as from those watching professional football this season because of this flag flap, as it's sometimes called, this anthem controversy. He's reading the tea leaves, and he understands he's got to do something, but he's doing the right thing, and I appreciate him doing that. I just hate it's 2 weeks late.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that really what happened is that this whole thing may have taken some of our NFL owners and others within the NFL somewhat off guard, and maybe, you know, we can say, well, you know, we can be merciful a little bit and give them some time to right their wrongs. But I'm glad that he did it. I thank the Lord for an owner who is willing to make a stand and to make a strong stand. I mean, Dallas is referred to, the Dallas Cowboys is referred to as America's team, and so America's team should stand for America's flag. And I guess, you know, as you indicated, what Jerry Jones did is basically saying to his football players, his employees, if you don't stand, then you'll sit. And sitting on the bench out of the game. And I think that that is probably the wise thing. And I want to just say to each of you who are listening here today, there is what is referred to as the flag etiquette. Standards of respect is what it's called. You can Google it. You can get the information anywhere, I suppose, online. And I would encourage you to do it. Just Google flag etiquette. And you will find that in that particular set of standards, it speaks concerning how we are to respond to the Pledge of Allegiance and a national anthem. The Pledge of Allegiance says should be rendered by standing at attention, facing the flag, and saluting. We may be talking about that more later on. But then, as it relates to the national anthem, it says that when the national anthem is played or sung, citizens should stand at attention and salute at the first note, and then hold the salute through the last note. The salute is directed to the flag if displayed. Otherwise, the salute is directed to the music. And David, just seems like, well, number one, most people don't perhaps realize there is such etiquette. But what even concerns me greater is that we've got so many people not respecting our flag today and therefore want to run away from that pledge and want to dishonor the flag by not approaching it properly when the national anthem is being presented.
Well, Gary, the NFL also has a policy, and that's what Jerry Jones said yesterday. It's a policy. It's not a rule that's going to be something that would be necessarily punishable by the National Football League front office, but it is a policy that follows the same thing that you just shared, and that is the traditional flag etiquette. You're to stand, you're to place your hand over your heart during the playing of the national anthem. If there is a flag present, then obviously your salute, which is the right hand over the heart, is to be directed at the flag. And if there is no flag, which of course there always is, whenever the national anthem is done at a professional football game or any game for that matter, if there's not a flag though, then you're to direct your salute, which is your right hand over your heart, toward the music or toward the person performing the national anthem. So all of that is a tradition that is longstanding. And again, I agree with you, Gary. I think it's great what Jerry Jones is doing. I just hate it took him a while, to come to this conclusion. No doubt money and the loss of revenue factors in, but it's not just America's team in the state of Texas that's being influenced by this entire controversy. This is working its way downward to the high school level. There is a Texas high school student who this past week filed a lawsuit against her school district and against her school's principal after she was suspended for sitting during the Pledge of Allegiance that takes place at the beginning of the day at the high school she attends. 17-year-old young lady named India Landry, that is her name, India Landry, said, quote, "I don't think that the flag is what it says it is for liberty and for justice for all. It's not obviously what's going on in America today," end quote. And so she decided that she would remain seated in the administrative area of the school. A couple of weeks ago, the principal came by, saw her seated, and said, "You stand, and if you won't stand, you're going to be kicked out of here. You're going to be suspended from school." Well, she refused to stand, stating that she had done this maybe as many as 200 times in class. She remained seated, but this was the first time she was in the principal's office or the administrative area where the principal could actually see her seated, and so the principal followed through when India Landry refused to stand, and he suspended her from school. Well, as a result, she has filed a lawsuit. And Gary, I mean, this really, in one sense, is absolutely ridiculous. But the attorney representing India Landry said this. He said that he believes Principal Strother, and that's the principal's name, last name, recently has been whipped into a frenzy by the African-American National Football League players kneeling for the anthem. And she's gotten worked up about that. And so that's what caused her to do this. And then the attorney for Ms. Landry went on and said, "Instantaneous school expulsions violate the Constitution. Students cannot be instantly expelled except for being in danger." Now, let me just take issue with that, because that's really not accurate. I pulled up some school district policies from across the United States, and here is what a student can be suspended for: the following things: continued and willful disobedience, open defiance of authority. And I don't think you would find any greater authority in a public school than the principal, who said, "Young lady, you need to stand," out of respect for the national anthem. She defied him. So a student can be suspended for continued and willful disobedience, open defiance of authority, stealing, damaging school property, occupying or causing others to occupy the school building without permission, causing another student to skip school, possessing, using, or being under the influence of illegal drugs, alcohol in the school building or on school property, harassment, intimidation, bullying, and on and on and on. So Gary, now we are having high school students defy the authority of their public school leadership over this national anthem issue. Gary, if we don't have the NFL owners come down and are not going to make a strong statement like Jerry Jones did yesterday, where's this going to end?
Well, you know, that's a real good question. Where is it going to end? I don't know. I would guess it will lead to even greater disrespect for our national anthem and for our flag. I read in a newspaper at the end of last week where there was one elementary school football player who took a knee at the playing of the national anthem. Now, can you imagine that? How did he know about that? Apparently, it came from his parents, I would guess. And I just think that the whole issue today is that we've got a generation of people, Dave, who do not understand what this nation is for and what the flag stands for. You know, the flag stands for the freedom that we have in the United States of America. The flag stands for our ability to protest our government. The flag stands for our freedom to be able to disagree with the government if we want to do it. And I've said all along that one of the things that anybody who does not like the United States of America should stay away from is either disrespecting the flag or burning the flag, because that flag should be honored because it gives it's the symbol of their freedom to be able to even stand against the government here in the country. It's appalling to me. It's concerning to me. It's a lack of total disrespect.
Well, Gary, I would say this. I think there is a connection between what we watched happen in Las Vegas, Nevada with Stephen Paddock, the violent, violent disrespect for human life. I think that is something that has been going on for a long time in our country, and disrespecting human life, disrespecting those who have shed their blood and died for liberty and freedom, all that our flag, the red, white, and blue represents. I think all of this kind of dovetails together. It is emblematic, symptomatic of a country, a culture that is just disrespectful on all levels, and it's got to stop, and it's going to be corrected when leaders, whether it's leaders in the NFL, leaders of local school systems, stand up and say enough is enough. When you come back, you're going to learn something about flag etiquette that Gary alluded to in the start of this last segment. Don't miss that on Stand in the Gap today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Dave Kistler, and I'm joined today by Gary Dull. And we're talking about, in this segment, flag etiquette, what's called the U.S. Flag Code. But before we talk about that, Gary, I want to go to you. There's a way that our listening audience can stay very much in tune with all that's going on here at Stand in the Gap today. They can be alerted to what's upcoming, special guests that are going to be on the program, and all of that. So, Gary, if you would, share how they can stay right up to speed with all that's going on here, if you would.
Be happy to, Dave. One of the things I would encourage them to do is to always visit our Stand in the Gap radio website, which is simply www.standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. But also, we have another tool that's called Join by Text. And, you know, we, from time to time, send out alerts of upcoming events and programs and various promotions at the American Pastors Network. And if you're really interested in what we are doing here at the American Pastors Network, you can get involved with some of this information through what we call Join by Text. And all you need to do in that event is to text the word STAND to 44144. That is STAND, just like standing up. STAND, STAND, to 44144. Now, when you do that right away, you'll receive a text reply in your email address or requesting your email address. And then once you reply with your email address, you will receive another immediate text replying with links to download our APN app from the Apple Store or from Google Play. And once you download and open the app, there is a sign-up option at the top where you can sign up to receive our weekly email updates. It's very easy. All you really need to do is to know to text in STAND to 44144, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory after that. We'd encourage you to do it so as to keep up on what we are doing here at Stand in the Gap Today Radio, as well as at the American Pastors Network. Dave?
Gary, thank you so much. And friends, I want to encourage you to follow Gary's advice and do that. Lots of things upcoming on the program that you're going to be interested in. And you can have a leg up, a heads up with all that if you join by text. Well, where did the idea for a flag code or flag etiquette come from anyway? Well, as it turns out, the U.S. flag code dates all the way back to the 1890s. In fact, 1892 is the precise date when Francis Bellamy, who was a minister, was recruited to write a patriotic pledge to the American flag as part of magazine mogul Daniel Sharp Ford's quest to get our flag, the red, white, and blue, into public schools. Well, the Pledge of Allegiance was written in August of 1892 by Francis Bellamy, and it was originally published in a magazine called The Youth Companion. And it was published September 8, 1892. And of course, Bellamy's hope was that the pledge would be used by the citizens of our country to aid in unifying us following the division created by the Civil War. So, friends, listen to what I'm saying. The Pledge of Allegiance was a unifying thing, something around which the country was to unite after the divided time of the Civil War. Now, it makes no sense to me that the flag, the national anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance, all of this should be used as a dividing point today when it was used originally as a unifying or rallying point. The original Pledge of Allegiance read like this. This is what Francis Bellamy penned. I pledge allegiance to my flag and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That was 1892. In 1923, the pledge was amended to include this statement, not my flag, but the flag of the United States of America. And then in 1954, in response to the communist threat at the time, President Eisenhower encouraged Congress to add the words under God, creating the now used 31-word pledge that we have today. So the pledge now reads, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, according to flag etiquette, should be rendered by standing at attention, facing the flag with the right hand over the heart. When not in uniform, men should remain silent, facing the flag, and render a military salute when in uniform, excuse me. And of course, there are other aspects to this flag etiquette, but these are the critical components. And Gary, it is an amazing thing to me to know, and this is something that no one is talking about, no other news source has talked about, most Americans do not know, that in 1892, Francis Bellamy's crafting of the original declaration, or excuse me, the original Pledge of Allegiance, rather, was to seek unity in the country and get the flag into public schools. My, have we come a long way.
Well, we have, Brother Dave, and you know, this is one of the things that I appreciate about our current president. And that is that so often when he is speaking in public, as you know, he will talk about the fact that we are one nation under one God, under one flag. And, you know, all three of those statements are statements of unification. One nation under one God and under one flag. And I think that he emphasizes that more than any other president that I can recall in my lifetime, including Ronald Reagan. But, you know, as you're talking here, Dave, and alluding to the division that we have in our nation and how the flag should unite us, but you're alluding to the division that we have in our nation and how it seems like amongst the citizens of our country there's a lot of contention. I'm wondering, I'm really wondering, Brother Dave, and I hate to bring up our past sins, but I'm wondering how much of this goes back to the administration of Barack Obama, the man who apologized for the United States of America, the man who said that we are not an exceptional nation, the man who seemingly opened doors to the spread of Islam in our country. Do you think that there's any connection? I mean, we've had 8 years of this, as I call it, an apparent lack of respect rendered by our president. Do you think that we are reaping the benefits of that right now, reaping the problems of that right now, the results of it?
Gary, I do, and I think the point you're bringing up is an outstanding one. When you have almost a decade's worth of very concentrated, concerted effort to demean the United States of America, to deny our exceptionalism, to deny the fact that we were founded upon a Judeo-Christian ethic, which the president incessantly did when he went on that apology tour across the Middle East and just apologized for everything that is America, that has an effect. Gary, I dare say this. If you'd watched an NFL player like Colin Kaepernick or any group of players take a knee during the national anthem prior to the presidency of Barack Obama, I think there would have been so much outrage in this country that it could not have been contained. But after 8 years, this is a great point you're making. After 8 years of that, we now look at a vice president who does the right thing and says, I'm not going to stay in an arena, even though it is my home state's, you know, team. I'm going to depart if people are not going to respect the flag because the flag is more important than football. Now he is viewed as being divisive by doing the right thing. Gary, this is what has brought this about, is almost a decade's worth of what President Obama brought to the table, and none of it is good or has been good for the United States of America. I agree with you. I think you're 100% correct.
And, you know, I just wonder, too, how much of this has to do with the racism that has come out from the Barack Obama administration. I mean, I'm not trying to shoot Barack Obama in the foot. I'm just wondering here. You know, I heard a commentator over the weekend say that she was appalled at the fact that President Trump referred to black people as SOBs. Now, I don't think that he should have called anybody an SOB, but he wasn't calling black people SOBs in his statement. He was speaking in reference to those people who do not stand for and pledge our flag when the national anthem is being presented.
And yeah, he didn't say anything about the color of the person who refused to stand.
Not at all. I mean, it was just he was referring to those who disrespect our nation, who disrespect our flag. Had nothing to do with whether they were red, white, blue, orange, yellow, pink, polka dotted, or whatever the case may be. And I think, again, a lot of this goes back to the Obama administration. You know, I'll tell you what, it shows me anyway that we who love this nation, we who are Christians, and particularly we who are pastors and preachers of the Word of God, have a lot on our platter, I should say, that we need to do to try to preach and teach about unity in this nation. Unity in a nation is not only practical for our perspective, but it's something that God desires.
Gary, I could not agree more. And though we cannot lay all the blame at the doorstep of Barack Obama, there's more than enough to go around to be laid at the doorstep of his administration. This demeaning of America, this downgrading of America, this lack of respect for things like the flag, the national anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance, all of that. There's enough to go around, and Obama shares blame in that. Well, friends, how do we restore an appropriate sense of national pride and patriotism? How do we go about doing that? That's going to be our discussion when we come back from this brief timeout on Stand in the Gap Today.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're discovering yet again additional information about the shooter in Las Vegas last Sunday evening, Sunday a week ago, Stephen Paddock. It is now known, and some news media outlets are reporting, that there was a note found in that 32nd floor hotel room that evidently Paddock had calculated trajectory, the fall of a bullet from the number of hundreds of yards away he was from the folks he was shooting at, all of this technical information that would lead him to be a better, more accurate shot firing at night at those unsuspecting concert goers below. Also, one of the folks I saw interviewed earlier today made this comment, something we talked about in great detail on the program last week with one of our guests, and that was this, that there were clips stacked up against one of the columns in the room, very organized and in very militaristic fashion. Now, again, this is a man, Stephen Paddock, that by the testimony of his own brother has had no military background. He's had no military weapons training. As far as the brother knows, he obviously had training from somewhere to do what he did, but he had no formal military background or formal military training. So the question that still begs to be answered is this: who gave him the training? Where did he procure the training? Why and how did he do what he did with such skilled and laser-like precision? How did all this happen from one guy? And I know the police and the authorities are still saying, you know, he acted alone. But friends, we still are, from the public's perspective, no closer to a motive on any of this than we were the evening it happened. So I want to implore you, pay attention to what's going on. Pray that the truth of the motive behind this will come out. And we'll be talking about this much more on the program tomorrow. But Gary, this does all factor in. I think the question you ask about midpoint in last segment about what role does the Obama administration play? What role does President Obama himself play in the demeaning and the creating, the cultivating of this lack of respect in our society? What role does he play? I think it's significant. I think it's greater than anybody wants to admit, because it was the same President Obama. Every time there was a shooting, he came out and demeaned law enforcement, and he did it in an unmitigated fashion. Then ultimately, time after time after time, he was proven wrong in his assessment, and yet he did it anyway. So all the institutions, the God-ordained institutions of this country, were demeaned for almost a decade under President Obama, and that is absolutely inexcusable, and I think it's facilitated where we are right now. Gary, what I want to ask you is this: how do we restore? This is our solution segment, so how do we restore an appropriate sense of national pride and patriotism. And I'm just going to suggest this, and then I'm going to turn you loose and let you run with it. But I think one of the things we can and must do from here on out to restore national pride and patriotism is not elect a president who's on record being demeaning of the flag, the United States, the pledge, or anything to do with our Judeo-Christian history.
Well, that would be a very good place to start. There's no doubt about that. And I say that because, you know, the president of the United States has the responsibility, as I said earlier, to uphold the flag, to uphold our nation, to be a patriot. You know, Dave, how are we going to get this whole attitude that we see developing in the United States of America lassoed in and redirected so that it's going down the right path? Obviously, electing a president who has a history of being a patriot is truly the key. But let's talk about patriotism for a little bit, simply because of the fact that it seems as though we have lost a great measure of patriotism in the United States of America today. I want to throw out a statement here that I would like for you to respond to, if you would like, regarding patriotism. And that is this: those who respect and obey the will of God will be patriots. Now think about that. Those who respect and obey the will of God, or let me just put it this way, those who respect and obey God will be patriots. Now, why do I say that? Well, I go back to Acts chapter 17 in the Bible, the New Testament, verses 26 and 27, where it says of God that he made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That teaches us that it is God who established the nations. And then it goes on to say in verse 27 that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. I believe this, that those who respect God will be patriots, because they will recognize that it is God who has brought every individual nation on the face of the earth together. And so, if we are going to strengthen the respect for our flag and for our nation and for our national anthem, I think once again, as preachers and teachers and Christians, we need to get back to proclaiming the truth about who God is. This program is called Stand in the Gap Today. We are to stand in the gap for God. We are to proclaim the truth of God, which will automatically result in people coming to God through Christ, respecting God for who he is, and that would also bring into fruition a greater patriotism than we've ever seen in a long, long time, in my opinion.
Gary, I couldn't agree with you more. If you don't have a respect for God himself, you're going to have very little respect for anything else. And so I think the foundation begins with what you have just laid out, and that is preachers from the pulpit declaring the holiness, the righteousness of God.
Hmm.
He is a holy God. He's not the guy upstairs. He's not the big man. He's not the big guy. He's none of that. He is the holy, righteous God of heaven, and he needs to be referred to in a respectful fashion. He needs to be discussed in a respectful fashion. And if we start there, then we will begin to rear a culture once again of people who understand respect for God and then respect for all things that come as a result of who God is. Certainly in the United States of America, we are uniquely blessed because of the way we were founded. So, Gary, I think that is a definite starting point. I couldn't agree with you more. Before I ask you to pray, Gary, let me ask you this. With respect to what the vice president did over the weekend, some again are calling it a stunt. I don't think it was a stunt at all. I think it was a statement. It was a stand the vice president took that is totally consistent with who he has been in his public life and private life. Do you think long term what he did is going to help set a model. I mean, he's going to be a role model for others, and there's going to be more of this that follows, because I can envision this, Gary, certainly on the National Football League level and on other levels. If people in the stands who agree with what the vice president did, because it was the right thing to do, and that's leave when the flag is disrespected, do you think that's going to cause others to do the same thing? Because I think the likelihood is great that it will.
Well, I think it will. I think it should, as a matter of fact. And you know, when we see that the attendance and football games are down, and the ratings on TV and radio are down, I think it is doing that. But I think that what Vice President Pence did was acting as a leader, and all of us who love this nation should follow. Father, we pray that you'll work in our hearts to bring a solid patriotism back to the United States of America, for that's your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Standing the Gap today. We're going to take a 23-hour break. Join us tomorrow, and until then, stand up for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.